on. So for the record, good evening. I'm Mark Laredo. I am the chair of the Land Use Committee. This is a regularly scheduled meeting on the Land Use Committee, but we're meeting early to go over and continue our discussion of the special permit process. I have with me Councilor Jay Goggins-Cross from Ward 2, member of the committee, Councilor Rick Lipoff from Ward 8, member of the committee, Councilor Susan Albright from Ward 2, former member of the committee, and various staff members here, Barney Heath, John Loja, Joe Mulvey, Alexander Anand, Rita Young, and our committee clerk, Nadia Khan. So with all the formalities, and we're being audio taped. I had sent out an agenda on Sunday to everybody, but I know Joe has got a long commute home, and I want to see if we can get him out of here first. Susan, you had talked with Joe about some of the improvements to technology that we might make, and you want to see it up a little bit? We'll jump ahead, and then we'll go back.
So I went to talk to Joe. We had a minute ago. We wanted to talk about two issues. One was the connection between land use and the work that John Lozek has to do, and also the ability to search our website and find special permits that might have been done yesterday or 5 years ago. So Joe showed me this eGov site, and one of the things we discovered, he's going to tell you that's missing, that could vastly help a lot, which is just a label for things as special permits. So if it's okay with everybody, sure, he can show us this site that's available to us now and small changes that we could make to it.
This is a site that we have in our current capabilities?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, great, go ahead.
Okay, we've used Community Plus since about 2005, and it's got all ISD's permits in there. It does not have special permits today, but it's easy enough to create a new permit type called special permits. One of the really nice things that we enabled with Community Plus about 5-6 years ago was the eGov portal, which is the outside portal facing in so that the public can access it. And it's a big hit. Realtors use it all the time, probably not nearly as frequently as the assessor's database, but it is definitely a source of a lot of queries. Over the years, we've tied in the assessor's database into it, so it's even more encompassing than it was before. If you go to the special services page and scroll down to the bottom, you'll see the online permit history lookup. And this is basically every night we copy all the permits from a secure location inside of our network to a web server. And you're querying this web server, you're not actually looking at the true data that is so valuable to the city. Snapshot. This portal is pretty much basically how Fungi has written it for us. And you can search by a couple of different items. Because you go back to 2005, there's probably 10 to 12,000 permits a year in there. It's an incredible number, so you need to filter this out very well or you're going to be overwhelmed with results. I grew up on Clarendon Street, so if we were just to search for Clarendon, not specifying the permit type, I typed in Clarendon under the street name, you don't need any suffix or anything like that. And this shows results for all permits issued by ISD for all of Clarendon Street. I can sort by the permit number, any of these headers I can sort by them, so if I click on permit type, it'll show me all of the different types of building permits all right in a row. In this leftmost column, just as a small note, first two digits of the permit number are the year, next two digits are the month, and then there's four digits set aside for the sequential numbering of the permits that they are applied for in the department. If I were to click on the permit number, it's going to basically give us some detail about the permit application. Gives us the permit number, the type, the address, the application date. It's got the FCL there, which is interesting because I can see that operators by your land room, it gives us the usage class, owners. If I click on the address itself, it actually opens up in a new screen. It'll bring you directly to the assessor's database for that address, so you can really do a lot of research on the property. If I close that and go back, and I click on SPL, it gives me more detail inside a community select on the property. Gives us the owner name, some very generic sales information. So let me go back. There's one thing I didn't show you on the first results screen, and that was probably the most important part of the discussion. Up on the top row, we did actually modify the code slightly. We added a field called documents. Documents is every attachment that was associated with that permit that was scanned in by the inspection authorities department. So if I click on this, this is really just a folder name, and that basically opens up a quick link and will show me all the documents associated with that particular building permit.
I wonder if we could find one that had a special permit, like something on Newtonville
We're 413 Hammond Street.
Which is
not your favorite property.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I think I've been using that as a sample.
No, I know. That is the reason for my comment.
Hammond Street.
So you may see the building permit and everything, but maybe not the backup and all the... Yeah,
it does have the special... Someone puts them in and links them.
Okay, so
check it out. Let's check that one out.
Let's see what it looks like. But I'm trying to understand. So the purpose of it's great to have this information. So I'm a consumer or a citizen. I want to look up a particular property. I can go get a special permit. I can see the building permit. I get all that. Good evening, with the joint counselor Greg Schwartz, vice chair of the committee, counselor at large from Ward 6. That's helpful. But how is that going to help us internally as a city do a better job?
Okay. Right now, the special permits are being stored under a city council page or a planning page, I can't remember. And they're basically just ordered all the files associated with scanned and placed there.
By year. So you have to know the year.
Okay, so now if you know a particular property, you can go, you can look it up, and you're a citizen, you can see there's a special permit. How's this going to help John?
Well, the first thing is, any of the scanned documents should go in, as I showed you, that building permit. Any of the scanned documents should be associated with these permits. We would create a new permit type called special permit. You, just like you filtered and found these results for 413 Hammond, there's also a drop-down search that says search for a particular permit type. So we can narrow it down to special permit. So you can type in special permit with the permit type and Hammond Street. It really whittles you right down very quickly. If there are any attachments, you will see them there.
So, John, how is this going to affect your work? I mean, what are the pluses, the minuses? What can we do to make it more robust?
Well, the plus is we're getting special funds scanned up to the property file. So
okay.
Go to 413 Hammond and go to, you know, check to see if it's a special fund. I wish there was a way of flagging that there was one there, but we can talk about that.
John, is there a way of doing that?
I would have to look into
if
it.
If there were a type, I was going to raise my arm, but I can't. If there were a type, it said special permit. You would see it.
Yeah. All I'm saying is when you get on the file, the property, I'd like to have something that says that there's a special permit on this property. You know, somehow we can recognize right away that this property is a property.
Well, you know, it's permanent. Could you do a different color? Could you do a different color for just the address? If there's a special permit, it's a different color? So we know that you're...
I can look into it. Right now, there are no special permits, so even if we change code tomorrow, we would still have to actually create the whole
they're in community flats, so
it's
just not in
the
Steve Jobs portal.
Right. So you'll find them occasionally, but they're not listed as special permits. They're listed as just
the building permits. They're listed as documents.
Like, so if we open up 413, if we open up 413, we're going to see these special permit documents in there.
One of these probably has a special permit link to it.
It's in community flats.
Let's see if it's here. Can we do that?
Okay, there's several here. I assume this year.
So what I was wondering is...
You do many different things.
Can I go to the doctor?
Go for a bathroom, you put an addition on, you...
And we have architectural plans, we have the actual building permit, from the end of the
special permit, was that a special permit? Or it was. So somehow it didn't get linked. But the one, we looked at the one on Newtonville Ave and it was linked. But I was thinking that if we had a special permit type, and that the either the clerk's office, probably, or the planning department, one of them would start the ball rolling on the property by start putting the special permit in, and then you would follow through with that, linking your building permits to that same special permit.
Mm-hmm.
So it would all be linked together.
Sure. So we have an 18-page architect set of drawings.
Some of them have board orders because we randomly looked around.
Yeah, let's look at each one. Maybe it's in the building permit.
Find the building name.
It says
the
end dot.
Most of the documents under the building permit. This is just a two-page building
permit.
It's on its own.
Yep.
You can actually see the weather.
I think this is a great beginning.
Well, it's a lot further than most people would have thought. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
We got one more piece to centralize everything.
Right.
So we don't have a building, the special permit, right? We can tell
this is 5 days application.
So do we know why we would have the special permit for this one?
Reason. Very reason.
I think the ones we found, like Dan Sexton, had put in the board order.
We started tracking special permits specifically, so we probably set a minimum set of guidelines of what needs to be associated with these documents. We could create a checklist and say we need all the special permit documents to go in, whether it's going to be attached to the building permit or just have the building permit specifically reference the special permit number.
So
go down.
Yeah.
Is it possible that this is not in there, John, because
they got the seven
it hasn't been used yet? They haven't.
No, they're already used.
Are they building? Have they pulled a permit to build?
That's the idea. Mm-hmm. All the stuff is a building permit application.
But the problem with Austin Street is there was nothing in there for Austin Street because they hadn't activated their building permit, so there's nothing here.
We don't stand up until
right, yeah. So if it started with the special permit, it would be you would start the record
goal. Oh, just like it shows building permits, it shows engineering approval, whatever,
yeah.
And that list should be special permits.
Right.
So, Susan, can I? You've been really instrumental in helping kind of coordinate this. It seems to me, I want to get other people's view on this. It seems to me kind of like if you want to share like a small sub working group of Joe and John and maybe someone from planning and maybe someone from clerk's office. Because there's a lot of logistics and technical stuff here, way above my pay grade, to be honest. I mean, you know, how you're going to do it, to code it. And what information you need. Does that make sense to people? I mean, it seems like it's a really good start and it's something you're saying we can do, right?
This is by far, to me, the correct way to go.
Okay.
A couple of the other beautiful pieces of it is that, you know, fire's using it, health is using it, so all these other departments, if you're using the same application as traffic, then everybody can actually participate in it.
Okay.
Whether it's for contributing data or querying it. Having us all on the same page.
So do you need fire and health to weigh in on this kind of working group as well, just to make sure or not?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So it's already offered to coordinate with John and, okay. and David and the clerk's
office. I'm sorry, Dave, go ahead.
John, did you say as well that you don't have tablets and you're going to inspect on site?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not able to access to... Right, and they would have to presumably reconnect to the internet each time they go to a new house, right, to upload the documents, so they don't have 4G on them.
No.
So, is there any plans?
This doesn't support tablets, right?
But I don't think that they actually need the tablets when they're doing the inspection, per se.
Within the field.
Wait, this doesn't support a tablet?
No, it's just a
Why not?
I mean, it's just a web application.
Yeah,
it's not a web application. What you're looking at is just a web portal, but the actual application is a proprietary system that resides inside of our network.
What does that mean? Well, wait.
It's not on the World Wide Web.
There's no
URL. There's no URL that they could type into the iPad, right? It's not a World Wide Web address.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
it doesn't
have its own
address.
It doesn't have its own address.
It's
basically a snapshot
of the information, not the actual live data.
So they could look at that.
So you want them to be able to actually
enter data.
I mean, that's an eminently reasonable request.
So I'll be able to act.
What is the reason the city has a system that is being used by every department that doesn't allow full access to all of the local devices that are useful to the different departments? Or to many of the, why would we have a sub, is it substandard? I don't know if that's the right word, but
older technology.
Older technology.
We've had the software since 2005. It's been updated 3 times. In the original version, we actually enabled it to work with Palm Pilot. And they could close permits in the field. Well, they could close the permit on the Palm Pilot in the field, they get back to the office, they sync it up, and it was closed. It didn't grow with the time, although the system has matured a bit. It hasn't gone as fast as one would expect.
So the software, I want to understand this more. So the software that we have purchased from Community Plus is not usable on a tablet? Is it because of what we haven't bought, or because the software hasn't been improved?
It's really about the network. You need to get onto our network with the tablet. So if you were here and you log into the network, you could do your work on the tablet. It's about connecting over the internet with a portal, running a VPN to connect into our network with the tablet, and then running the software.
So is it not the software, it's just our technical network?
It's really the combination.
So what do we have to do to get it so it's doable?
Can you create a network? Can you create a new network URL?
In a way, it already exists, and then we have a citywide network.
So could you tie in with that? Since you said that the problem really is that you don't have a URL to tie in with.
It's really about the VPN connection, so
it's the proprietary aspect, not the
VPN.
Right, and you can make that work.
It would be a lot of work, and like John said, it's work for the laptop. They don't like they're bulky. They don't bring them out in the field. Typically, they're going back to their car halfway through the day and doing the data entry at that point.
But what about
laptops?
Do you have a difference? John, what do you think? They're ruggedized laptops because they're going into
Well, rather than us trying to solve the technical problem, you should say, this is the problem we'd love you to be able to solve.
Well, but I think we are saying we need to know what the solutions are to the technical problem. If they involve funding that you don't have, we need to know that too, because then we can advocate for the funding. I for one, do not want to be constrained by, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 expenditure, have us throw up our hands and say we can't do it.
That's 1% of one of the special permits that we've been
having. John, you and I have had past discussions about this. And I was surprised to see how much this was doing until the answer came back that we have been talking about, that this is 2005 technology. And the fact that we did to bring it up to snuff, up to speed, to do what we want, is going to take almost a whole new system?
No.
You don't think so?
Let me bring it back to Mike Newton, and we'll start at the drawing board and see what we can come up with. The way technology is now, you would think that it would be a piece of cake, which is really what you're saying to me. And I agree. We are actually upgrading the software. Friday, December 10th is the upgrade date for both Community Plus and Finance Plus.
Okay.
And the system is going to be vastly different at that point. It's a different back-end programming language. So we'll see what happens then, and we'll take it from there. I mean, that's only 2 weeks away.
Would it be helpful for us to, in this setting, to just kind of list quickly what the kind of ideal functionality would be, so that we kind of charge the subcommittee with work? Because, I mean, I'm sorry I came late, but my first sense is that we wanted to work for the inspectors themselves in the field. Second, we wanted to work for the departments that use it here. And third, I would think that we wanted to work for, if possible, as a matter of transparency, for the public.
Okay. Well, this is open to the public now, so it's a good start.
But the inspectors in the field can't use it, which means they're far less efficient and they're not getting all the real-time information they need.
You know, as they work on upgrading the system, like I say, people can come to our desk and look at the stuff on computers we have in the hallway. They can do it from home. That means, so they can see that their gas inspection was performed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it was more easily entered from the guy can press a button and people see real time. Mm-hmm. I guess that's from your office in town. I mean, you can see that. One of the things we want from an inspector is not inspector before we go somewhere. Tell the point. You're expecting the electrical and gas to be signed off first. The building inspector, you're going to look at it and say, well, they didn't sign off. So I'm telling you that you have to enter real time. I've been telling them that. But they have these tunnels on these laptops and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And there's stuff to drag around. You've got to leave the office and just come back and enter that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's the whole point is to be able to get this real-time thing going so that everybody is up to date. We get a lot of phone calls to waste the time. Yeah. You know, am I building inspection done? If it had just clicked it,
it would
have or whatever.
Four phone calls.
You just figured it's done. Right. So, I mean, that's done with. I think the IT department's been working with stuff a long time and they're doing the best they can. They have a vendor that supplies the material, they have a certain way of doing things. I mean, that's what it is. But I think it's good for everybody. It's good for the planning department, it's good for... You guys get a phone call from these pictures of living here at that evening. That would tell you. I'm looking at the special permit. I don't understand what you complain. You know, we get these complaints from neighbors without following this from special permit. What, is that a special permit?
No.
Well, then how do you know that? Or is that all the meetings? Well, I've got a video. I have a photographic memory too, right? And yeah, that's a special permit. It's not true. We get that call at least two or three times a day. Did you register the permit? No. Why are you talking? You don't even know what they're supposed to do. Well, the biggest thing about the screen is you know the fee. The fee is $18,000 for that special permit. Mm-hmm. You're averaging over.
Yeah.
One job, one day. You know, we take in
$9 million. Real-time data entry, real-time retrieval, and that's useful for a whole host of reasons.
This special permit
section
I have. Right. Nothing's more important than my enforcement guy. You have all the field, such and such an address. I don't think you're following the use of the special permit. I think you're pull up the problems, bring up the drawings, bring up the conditions, and say, sorry, but they are. I mean, you know, people imagine these things.
And if they're not, he or she has a special permit in front of them too. And
you've got to run on his computer, stay in the phone, and say, no, I'm looking at the drawings that were built. And the drawings are what I'm looking at up in the field. That's the ultimate goal. You talk about enforcement. That enforcement is what it's all about.
And you're going to find your tablets that you get large size Apple iPad or something like that.
Yeah, you recognize them. Yeah.
All right, so that one is very important piece. Is there anything else you want to give to Joe and Susan and say, yes, good?
Just as I came in, I know you guys were looking at a list and had multiple permits for one particular property. Earlier yesterday, I was trying to just quickly look at a property that somebody had asked me about, putting the property that I thought was the right number on that street. It didn't seem to say there was no address. So that was weird. So I went in the just listing, and I just wanted to review them, so it's by month, I saw, right? So then I had to kind of scan October and September. I don't know when the permit is necessarily.
Well, no, if you look up the address, you see the
front of the property. Didn't have the accurate address. I mean, I don't know. I didn't try just putting in the street name. Maybe without the number it would work. But
you'll get a building.
So I even with that, though, I noticed that when I went to the building, when I found one for a particular property and clicked on it, like there were, like in this case, like three or four permits, and they all said building permit.
Yeah.
And you had to go into each one of them. So I do think that that first comment that I came in on, which was, if there's some way to flag whether it's a special permit or whether it's, you know, final building permit or whatever, that would be helpful. I don't know if color is the best way because some people don't see color so well, but if there's some way to flag it, I do think that's another piece that I would just put to the committee to try to look at.
Yes.
And in terms of enforcement, there's more or less routine matters, which has to do more with inspections and approvals and so forth, but when there's a problem on a site, or particularly when there's a chronic problem on a site, right now, it is still complaint-driven normally, although let's say there's a major problem on a site. Somebody starts doing something without a permit. They start excavating without a permit, for example. And so, you know, an inspector goes out there, reads the guy the riot act, tells him what to do, and maybe... And maybe the inspector goes back randomly another time to check up on such a person. But I've experienced a few things where there might be five or seven incidents of non-compliance, because basically if you have a bad actor out there. With this system, so we go here, but where would you track that type of information in real time to keep, and who would it be available to?
Well, the code enforcement guys information, and it's not public.
So it doesn't get shared with other code enforcement people within your department?
Or
it does? No, I wouldn't want it to be public. If I just wanted to know that there's a way to use this technology so that you have that record.
If I may, the code enforcement is based on rights. So we only give a certain people, or very few people, the ability to see much inside of code enforcement.
So if they have the right rights, they could see it. Right?
Yes. One of the nice things about code enforcement is if the officer determines that, you know, 413 Hammond Street is unacceptable, he can put the property and all permits on hold so that the inspectors, when they go into the permit of the property, they'll see basically a big box.
As a way to flag that condition, right, you know, stop work order or something.
So what you're saying then is there are ways that already exist that internally the select few who need to look at this information can find out what's going on.
Yes.
And again, that information that it could be made available to the inspectors in the field, but not to the general public, that would be helpful.
The Holt has a feel for, you know, general information. So the Holt may say it's on hold by, you know, Dave or John, and a very thorough description of why, but won't go into the details that really need to be kept alive.
So how much time would you need to come back to us and give us at least a, you know, a preliminary update as to where you are with implementing this in a way that will now be user-friendly for John and his team?
Well, there's two big pieces that we're talking about. They'd be on different tracks. One is trying to ensure some type of remote access to tablets. And actually, the three pieces. One is the remote access to the tablets. One is beginning to track special permits using Community Plus. And the third is doing some code to the eGov portal so that we can make special permits pop.
So, a month, 2 months, what's there for you?
And we need to do more research for the tablet access. As far as the code on the eGov, it's contingent upon adding special permits. So, special permits is really the first thing to do.
And I wouldn't have you come back, Joe, and just give us and say we're all done.
Right.
But this is a continuing process of this committee. So, you know, if we put it on, say, second week of January, is that enough time to have sufficient progress?
Absolutely.
All right. So we'll put this topic on for January, second week in January meeting, okay? And at that time, hopefully, we'll have some, you know, pretty significant progress on at least what we need to do. And if it involves buying stuff, for example,
right,
you know, we can at least have a conversation with Maureen and the mayor about know, budgeted for that.
Before the budget is
and yeah, I'd like Susan to be on the, Susan, will you kind of be on someone's person on this? That'd be great. So while we have you here, one of the other topics on our agenda tonight, and I know we're going a little bit out of order, is enforcement by inspectional services. And we talked among the committee for a long time that enforcement of special permits right now is reactive, it's complaint driven. And once a special permit is acted on, that's the end of it. So unless somebody complains, we've had some situations, a daycare center in Waubin, for example, we all remember, which was out of compliance for 30 years until somebody complained. And then it was a huge problem for them, huge problem for us. So, John, have you given some thought to what it would take to do some selective, proactive enforcement, you know, even if it's 5% of special permits, it's just to see if they're being obeyed?
Well, certainly ones like that should be cut in our normal course of business. For example, we have that as like nothing but periodic.
Restaurants,
license establishments, place of assembly, daycare, and all that. Well, certainly, you know, with proper training, you know, people moving, you know, the first thing I tell people when they go in there, where's the restaurant? How many seats are booked? First thing is, why do you see? You can look at that. You can look at the posting on the wall. You know, it says 74 seats.
Okay, so for our edification then, there are certain places, restaurants, daycare centers, what other things get inspected annually?
Every school, and every room of assembly, every place of assembly, all the dormitories and the schools and all the things. 825
So for those, and assuming a significant number of special permits, those we have a system in place already for the inspector to do some verification, like, and no one's trying to find fault with what happened in the past with this. And this is about how we can learn going forward. So that one you're comfortable with, that we don't need anything else except some
things. No, we're looking at that because right now that pilot isn't in Community Plus.
Okay.
So it's separate.
I think that goes to the technology issue that they have to be able to look
all
at the
categories again with a program that you use that does all that.
So applying that there's a
job. If they think if this company is progressing, which seems to be, and they should be better, I mean that's great. We just would like to be able to keep all that stuff in one hand.
John, you're like me. I just think, well, yeah, why can't they do it? But Joe's our technical expert. So, Joe, what's the reality with John's request?
One of the submodules of the Community Plus is business licensing, and that is specific to periodic. We started to work on it with the health department for things like alcohol licensing. The big challenge is you have to enter everything in. And then you need to tell the system how often do you want to do those inspections. Is it semi-annually, quarterly, every other year? So many different types that have different periods of time. It will be a lot of work to set it up, but once it's in, it's going to be running.
Well, that's a lot of work, you know, 100 person hours, 1,000 person hours.
You basically would have to enter in every restaurant, camp, and alcohol liquor store. You have to enter into the system once. And you need to give good information on owner information, property information, address, and then set up the recurring.
Instead of trying to break in from New York over the summer, could you do that? I'm very curious. Could you do that?
There'd be some major training to kick it off. Yes, definitely possible.
You know, there's more than one partner that we need.
Technical sense, so that the common sense sense is that if you're going into these places yearly anyway, and you already have that list, and you already have that going, right, 145, that if either this year or next year or whenever the technology gets you that information that is assigned to that, attributable to that address, that if the inspector could, just as a part of their routine, when they're going in to do that electrical or whatever it is that's the yearly thing, they look and see if there's a special permit, and then they could check it off or enter it then or whatever. Then you'd have it flagged, and it's just in the matter of a couple of years, I would think, that you'd at least get all those periodics up and at least identified that they have a special permit. Now, whether the special permit has continuing conditions or whether they were all just at the time of construction, that could be something that you also, you know, differentiate between. But I would think that after a couple of years, just you wouldn't need to hire people to enter that data if we solve the other issue, which is the tablet being or the laptop being interacted with the system, and special permits have been flagged by a new, you know, code or whatever it is, field, then you'd be able to do, at least for those 845, you'd be able to have it up and running in a couple of years. But, and then there's the other ones that are not periodic that I think going forward, right, but as we're entering these new special permits that we've recently approved, it'd be great if that could be flagged as you're uploading this stuff. At least if you create the field, then it would be, that work would be done as well. Mm-hmm. Then you're just going backwards to kind of fill in the gap.
Yeah, and we need to get that much work to go back effectively for the one-off special permit.
Right, you only have that much
pressure. Yeah, if you wrote that, it wouldn't be that.
So is this doable?
Yeah, okay.
Yes, it is. And so it's doable to put in all these 845 places in the community plus, assuming you have the tablets, the special permit's there, your inspector goes in, he or she can look at the property and see it right there and there with the store.
However you want to, I threw out
high school kids out just as a suggestion, but it makes zero difference in here. Right? However you all want to do it, it's great. So that's that piece. The other piece that John, we talked about a little bit is the non-reoccurring ones, where you're not out there every year. We issue board orders all the time, whether it's landscaping or a variety of other things. We are currently, unless somebody complains, they just sit there. So, how many special permits do we issue in a year?
65 on average.
It feels like hundreds, but maybe 60, and some number of those are daycare, school-related, others, right?
Some of them.
So maybe on average 50 that are not covered by restaurants, daycares. Is that about right? 55.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So what would it take to every year do a 5 or 10% of the special permit check, you know, periodically, randomly, just to see if the special permit is being followed?
You have to have a list of the special permits. I guess you have.
We have them all in the database. Yep. They need to be printed out and make a decision on how you want to go about it. Some of them, you know, give a refund if they have all. I don't have them back.
No, you never have to ask that.
You know, when someone's at the town and they want to, now, you know, 2 owners later, 10 years later, they want to make it under addition, is explicitly on where they have a special permit now. But in the future, that wouldn't be the case. You know, you can inform them that, you know, what?
Okay.
You know, it's like, are you kidding me? I mean, kill
them. You know, I'm thinking more about, sometimes with some of our more complicated permits, we spend a lot of time talking about the type of screening you're supposed to have, the fencing you're supposed to have. What are some of the other examples we give?
I mean, well, there are some that are bigger and that have like a ongoing neighborhood involvement. But I guess those are pretty easy to identify, and those are probably already on your radar. But maybe they're not. I don't know.
Maybe not.
But then there's there's a couple look backs. I don't know if the look backs are get kept in. We have just passed a bunch of look backs recently. I don't know if those are on a list somewhere.
Well, I think once you've got them identified as, say, ones that are continuing conditions, instead of, you know, the one-time type thing, would you see all those flags up? And I would bring down that list, and those were all printed in a way, you know, whatever, just highlighting them.
So there's a condition on 270 special permits that are out there. Yeah, we can divide them up and somewhere, you know, once a year you take five and we'll check on them, you know, and give us the periodic. I don't think we're looking at, we're not looking to place, please, and try to tag every single one every year. That's probably a big waste of time. But if I'm a homeowner and the word gets out there that, you know, there's a special permit, you better follow it 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road, that's going to make a difference.
Well, you're talking, you know, all of them should be missing, you know, 5 years later, you know.
Right.
What's up with that? I mean, really? You took out all the trees? You have condition special permit.
But again, that you get that right now, complaint driven, not
right.
Anything else.
I'm down the road checking.
So,
I just went out all the old trees.
I hear, go ahead, Jen.
Well, I think it might be useful as an exercise for us to have a list of, say, all special permits granted in 2016 or 2015. 1 year, look at them. I mean, I would guess, just off the top, that half of them are probably, you know, small residential projects that are continuing in non-conforming condition or FAR, something like that, and they just take those away. There's probably another tier that doesn't require a whole lot. There's only a few that have serious issues that I think you want to be on top of. So I think it's hard to talk about this without having any kind of a list in front of us.
So for Alexandra, for our next meeting, could you maybe go back either in 2016 or 2015, and maybe 2016 and 2016,
mm-hmm.
just tell us which ones.
I have a list of all 2015 special permits in front of me, and there's probably no more than 10 of them that would need to be looked at.
Okay, that's really useful. That's
mm-hmm.
less work than I would have thought.
Mm-hmm.
But we need John to be able to have a vehicle for identifying
mm-hmm.
them. And maybe that's something you can help.
Yeah.
When you talk to Joe, maybe that's something that somehow gets flagged in the system, or this is a special permit that requires some continuing
yep.
oversight.
Mm-hmm. Another.
Go ahead, please.
So I'm not even sure how to ask this question without referring to the specific case I'm thinking of. So we did a special permit. A couple years go by. They've exercised the special permit, but they haven't completed their special permit. They're non-compliant.
Mm-hmm.
What's the process on your end for, you know, once somebody's exercised a special permit, they have their permit, they've started building, but they don't come back. They haven't gotten a sign-off on their, say, outdoor work. And there's one in particular I'm thinking of in Ward 5 along the Greenway, where I know they're not in compliance, not just because they haven't finished, although we're being kind so far and saying you haven't finished. But from your end, you just know that they've exercised their special permit, and, you know, you're waiting for them to come in and get their final inspection, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
And so at what point do you proactively follow up? How many years do they get to complete their work and have it
checked?
In this particular case, they don't need a CO. The interesting thing is that they got a special permit to increase the intensity of use of the commercial property.
They continue to operate. So there's nothing to...
Right.
That's an unusual case, I would think. I would think that
yes.
at the end of the special permit, they can't use it until they get the final sign-off.
There's something
right.
that should be included in their conditions of special permit. You know, you must either, you know, get a certificate of occupancy or a certificate of compliance.
Within a period of time?
Exactly.
Well, you're trying to look into that. Rita?
Well, I'm concerned about within a certain period of time, there are issues about, I think, from the building code about how fast you're supposed to be able to complete your building projects, and it really depends on how complicated the building project is. So I'd rather not have a special
mm-hmm.
permit start talking about how soon after they get the building permit they've got to get the certificate of occupancy. But I think in most instances, we put in a requirement that there be a certificate of occupancy or some sort done it. That's pretty routine.
Mm-hmm.
So
we don't, it's not required to be able to help. We don't get to watch it.
Well,
so you can get to complain.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough.
Could we go back and look at our orders to see if we can get in there?
I think I know the one we're talking about. It might be on Easy Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've been trying to... So just been spending a lot of time on the Greenway because there's a lot of stuff going on along there, and there's a lot of opportunity for helping the commercial side edge and, you know, repairing it, making it actually really great. We have a lot of willing investors, but there's this one that's committed to doing things a certain way, that and the work hasn't been done that certain way. And it isn't completed. And it's all exterior. It's about pavement and parking and where the edge winds up and the access way and not parking in front of it and that sort of thing. So it's tricky.
That DPW yard is not going to fix itself.
Yes, it's not the DPW yard. And they're actually two-thirds of the way through that. He's
all right, let's
stay on top. Yep. So, okay, so I might just have to talk with you offline about this. I'm just, but it just brought up for me what happens in the event that something languishes and you need to go after. It's not about occupancy. It's not about having too many people or a look back. It's quite different.
So this is why I'm talking about how important it is to inspect and feel and bring stuff up. Because remember, if the district inspector who makes the first pass of this is the one that issues the compliance or the license, so I mean, that's what's really important. They have access to this information all the time. I mean, I can shut places down if they're not compliant and it looks like they're going. And if the thing starts to fade out, it's like, whoa.
Well, it also makes
sense.
Have the plans in front of you on your tablet as you're looking at some of these things, especially if you're looking at outside work.
Mm-hmm.
It could be not so easy to see the discrepancies between what's on the ground.
You always double check it back on your
phone. Okay.
But the fact is, like landscape plans and stuff, it's not that difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Open them up and say, there's no trees there.
When someone applies for a temporary CO, that temporary CO is good for a certain amount of time and there's a fee associated with renewing that, correct? But it's not flagged necessarily in our system that the temporary COs expire this month or this year. We need to do because that would be helpful. Because there are many cases where we do flag things that aren't complete yet, unless you remember to go back and face that person, there is no incentive for them to come in and
so that's something that you need the system to provide a proactive reminder popped up on the screen.
That would be helpful, and it's, you know, not something we
want
to
use
regularly, but,
yeah.
Joe, is that doable?
I think that we could probably figure out something just by writing a simple con note, like a report writing software, if you run a query once a month that says, show me every temporary specific occupancy that was issued in the past 2 weeks. You run it every 2 weeks.
Then stay on top of it.
Yeah, or even once a year, the special permit's not closed out.
Again, this is a really, really important discussion in my view. But I personally think it's best left to Susan and Joe with your help to do it. And my guess is it's going to take a number of sessions as you brainstorm it and try to implement it and so forth. But I'd like to see it back. You know, second week of January. Do you have a meeting then, I think?
Probably.
I think.
Probably.
That's the way to think about that. And then we can you know, have a progress report on where we are with that. So, is there anything else? Yes, Frank.
I was just trying to think of other recurring kind of things. And correct if I'm wrong, but a lot of the accessories, area departments have to have that affidavit.
Yep.
So, we've done a number of accessories under special permit recently. I don't know if they have continuing, other than the affidavit, other continuing conditions. That would be another way to kind of, you know, just in real time, kind of identify ongoing conditions and special permits that just get logged and kind of going forward.
Yeah, that's true. And then we have a couple of permits where they're supposed to make an annual donation.
Right.
And I have to chase them down when I remember. It would be great if, you know.
It might be good to just kind of try to get a list of these kind of recurring things.
Tony, are you keeping notes and I just realize that I'm not?
Okay. Before I go to Jay, can I just follow up on the accessory apartment piece? So I know you're supposed to provide an affidavit every year. Is anybody going out ever and checking the veracity of those affidavits?
That's a recommend follow.
But particularly since we're now having these conversations about accessory apartments being much more a matter of right, you know.
Well, then they wouldn't have that annual.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
they would.
Yeah,
they
would.
Yeah, So
I learned, I thought the number was low, that in all the years we've had the accessory apartment ordinance in effect, which is sometime in the 80s, we have only created 72 accessory apartments.
Well, maybe the first 15 years they weren't doing anything, because in this committee in the last 4 years, I've got a fair number of months.
But it's really a handful, if you count them, and it's really not that many. Anyway, 72. How hard could it be, even if we triple that number, or even if we quadruple that number, how hard would it be to have a list of addresses, and once a year they get a mailing?
Well, we're working on that.
I don't want to see the typically the affidavit does nothing for me. I think it's nice, but the affidavit does very little for me, because I think you know, the inherent human nature is not to necessarily be truthful. And so I think it's
It's, you know, once you pull down a mailing list, you send out the notice, and they send you back the affidavit, what can you say? You know, that's what they do. We can file cost affidavits from Graham that day. Once you take this affidavit, you get real, and that will get your CO. That's the way we deal with it.
Right? Well, hey, John,
$1,000 building, $2.5 million. Well, you know, why don't you go home, think about it, come back tomorrow with another affidavit.
The accessory apartment piece, I mean, part of the reliance that the reliance is we're going to get people to be honest, and they're going to provide these affidavits, and they're actually going to own or occupy these rooms. That's the basis of the whole accessory apartment thing. But we're not even getting the affidavits that are only approved, and we have absolutely no, we never check them.
I actually think most people are honest, and you get once in a while, just like the builders we have out there, you get a bad actor out there, and everybody notices, and everybody uses that as a reason to try to legislate more and crack down more and so forth, but it's really because one bad actor, you know, is noticeable. And I actually think that if you reminded people, and I don't pay my bills on time sometimes, because now I'm getting bills on email or whatever, and it's, you know, it's overwhelming. I think, you know, you send somebody a notice.
The reason the Department of Revenue goes out and indicts a bunch of people for not paying taxes.
Fine. You know, I just don't think that's the kind of community we have overall. I really don't.
I agree, but you need to enforce the law.
Absolutely. No, I think the reminders are important. And having a list, a short list.
I'm not suggesting we're out there and inspecting every property, but if people know that you're going to look at it, there's just human nature to ask differently. That's all.
Okay, fine. But I think it'll make a huge difference if we just keep track and notice people. Just like, you know, we had to get into everybody's house to change the water meter, or you have to get into everybody's house to
We wanted to check on people's illegal ties to the stormwater system, all right? Everybody didn't let you in the house right away, but eventually...
And they were all honest about it. None of them were tied in illegally, right?
No, I'm not saying that. But most of them who did didn't realize what they were doing.
Well, I think, just like we were talking about the special permit and taking on certain ones, almost everyone has to do an accessory apartment to have a face-to-face.
Yep.
You kind of get a feeling a lot of people would do this all day and every day. And, you know, I can tell you, if 5 days of town, I can find a spot or two that we were lying about.
Yep.
I mean, just because you just know how to do this stuff. And my friends are pretty much training and figuring people out. So, I mean, you could keep a list and say, okay, now we're going to check on it. I mean, again, it's 7 days. I mean, for us, we're a small number. We're dealing with thousands and thousands of things. But, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. And, I mean, if we can get this going on a database where, you know, I have a code enforcement guy, I have a periodic guy, those are the kind of guys you can use to do this kind of, you know, once a year, twice a year, the way you go, yeah, they do check. They do go out there.
It also would be, I mean, frankly, I think it's useful for, you know, our discussions right now of accessory apartments that we did last night, we're certainly talking changing them a fair amount. It would be useful to find out for the however many we have currently, how many are truly still accessory apartments the way they're supposed to be, and how many are not following the law. I mean, it's a significant issue. So if we could just, I don't want to get way later on accessory apartments, but I think the issue here is, again, another piece of technology that enables John's office to send out those letters, enables your inspectors to then go on and take a look. Are there any other concerns?
Okay, John sends the piece, Joe sends the piece of cake.
I like Joe.
This is very positive, here's my hand about.
I'm sorry, John.
Yeah, I got to say, can I just, Joe, I work every day with developers and people in software, and your attitude is just unbelievably welcome. The fact that you're so willing to make changes to try to, that is not the attitude that I encounter on a daily basis, so thank you. Truly. Do you want,
I want you to give me whatever other suggestions.
So do you want the survey stuff?
Yeah. Well, is there anything else in this piece that we need to talk about for the moment? I don't think we do. We have some other technical stuff. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your help.
Thank you, Joe.
Jay, do you want to just update us on the survey?
Yeah, very quickly. Net Promoter Score. So we have 45 results now, which actually was quite good.
That's one other thing, Joe. I'm sorry. Sure. Joe, that's one other thing. I'm sorry. You might have already covered. But so the current city council website that has the special permits up there has the memo that planning is done, the engineering report, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Does that tie in at all with community?
No, it does not.
There's no link there.
No.
So what you're doing essentially is after all that's done, then you kind of load it up separately to Community Plus?
I would propose for the long run that we basically not put them on the council pages. And we could have a link on the council pages pointing to Community Plus.
Okay.
But Community Plus should be the go-to system
drive
the drafting system.
Yeah. Okay. Because that precedes obviously the approval. So that's the only issue, is that if something doesn't get, like, let's say withdraw it at some point or whatever. It's still on our page, right? People can see it, but I don't know if that would be in Community Plus.
If you add special permit as a category, and if the clerk's office puts, or the planning, whoever does it, puts in the special permit when they first get into the system, that'll start to track them from the beginning.
There's going to be two places. On the planning department, city clerk, on the city clerk's website, pending permits before the city council.
Right, exactly.
And then, because that's different. That's not a system. And then in Community Plus, that's where you go to get approved city permit. That work?
Those run off two different.
Do you want the zombie track to be approved? Because I kind of, my impression was that the special permits, you may have dozens and dozens of applications, but very few may actually be approved. Some people walk away with their application and don't follow up for years. So I would think that you would want to track them all, whether they ultimately are approved or not.
I know Jake has to go to something else, but let's let him go. Let's put that as a topic that you can talk about and give us some drawings.
Okay.
Wonderful. Jake, go ahead.
45 results, which was It's good. Nadia, maybe we do one more to go to this time and then probably call it quick. I think she's enough. Net Promoter Score, again, is kind of a benchmark for ourselves longitudinally. -47, people don't want to get special permits, so that's not necessarily since we're doing a bad job, don't want to get special permits. But it's a good way to track ourselves going forward. And then, in terms of the opportunity for where we could improve that would make the biggest outcome, biggest impact, rather, on their satisfaction, it remains the time at City Hall, between your first visit to City Hall and the beginning of the public hearing. So it's the biggest opportunity segment, and below that is the time spent the public hearing itself. I think useful to note is that it looks like tension with neighbors is not a consideration. So if we were going to do follow-on interviews with folks, we would probably be looking at how they feel about the time spent at City Hall and the time spent public hearing.
And I for one, I mean, I'd like to get more information on both. If people are willing to talk to us, I think that'd be great. We might get some better suggestions.
Yeah, I mean, we can look by individual response and follow up by email.
That'd be
great. I think we're about ready to do that.
Okay. Can anybody talk about after the special permit and your completion, or is that not really?
That was not one of the outcomes. Okay.
Not a single person raised that tension with neighbors was an issue?
Oh, no, it was ranked. I mean, all of them had to get ranked somehow.
Okay.
So, and the satisfaction was still less than the importance, meaning that technically we could improve, but it was much less than anything else. It was clearly not a resonant issue with them relative to the other ones.
Were denied or withdrew in the process, or only approved?
Nadia, were they only people that had been approved? They were all approved.
We had very few. I think we had almost no denials. And
we had some withdrawals.
Few withdrawals.
Withdrawals are often because of
things. Oh, yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. It would give statements. Most likely they would be pretty unhappy if they got denied.
If conflict with neighbors was the number one thing, if anything,
I
don't want to overburden Jake and Nadia. I think right now let's continue our focus on where we are, get the information, and if we have the time to go back and add to it, would be useful.
I think it's useful to confirm where we're focusing our efforts. So,
I think it's a good idea. We had three places that I wanted to talk more about in addition to enforcement, which we really hit on a lot actually. One was we were completing or hoping to complete our discussion about the materials that we're getting from the planning department pre-meeting, and then notices to interested parties, which is really something we do need Joe Mulvey's involvement on. And I know, Jim, you have a pending docket item that we need to take up. And then I wanted to talk about our deliberative process as a group. I'm going to hold the notices piece, Jim, and Nadia, maybe we could put that on for discussion at that January meeting. And try to incorporate it as part of that as a formal discussion in that document. So, Alexander, is there anything else on the report that you feel is open that we didn't kind of cover sufficiently, or do you feel like we're in a pretty good place and you know what's there?
I thought we were in a pretty good place. So there wasn't anything in particular that I wanted to cover.
Okay.
On my side.
Others? Anybody else on the reports and information we're getting? Yeah, I think we talked about how we reshape the report.
Yeah, and
we trim them down.
Okay.
Do you think for January, do you think that's something you could have for us by then? Be honest. I mean, if it's not, tell us.
I wouldn't mind sort of getting through Washington Place.
Okay. So maybe February?
Yeah.
Okay. February, an update on the new report format. Okay. So, let's turn.
Just quickly get a time frame on the abutter, the notification piece.
Mm-hmm.
I would hate to have something and then have thoughts about it at our February meeting. So, when is that? I know it was in.
So, it's been kind of like fumbled around like a football since. Was filed like in August. There was sent to the wrong committees.
And then so I had to keep pulling out, and it was going to make sense against the wrong committee. So it's sent to zoning, finance, programs, and then back to here.
It's not sent it here.
We're done. I know, so now it's here, but there's no other committee to find.
No, we control it. It's a docket item that's been assigned now to this committee, and we have to deal with
it. And the reason for it was simply we were running into a lot of our land use items where people were coming in that didn't get the notice, but they were like the next house over. And it was tying us up. We extended a few hearings because of it, so I thought, well, if we just expand it a little bit.
So my suggestion is in our meeting in January when we take this up, that we take it up as an initial discussion, not make any final decisions, because I think we really need to get input from the planning department and city council about the logistics, what it would involve, cost, all that kind of
stuff. I have all that done already. David Olson went through and costed out the whole thing for notification, so that's all. I had the matrix and all that for us. So.
Well, why don't we, if your docket item, we'll put it on the docket for January, but I do think it may be something that requires more than one meeting. So we have about 15 minutes left or so. I'd like to talk about our deliberative process as a committee, and what we might do differently going forward, what's working well, and what's not working well in our deliberation process, and how we can do it. And we're all thinking so, Scott, anybody? I mean, what's working well? Let's pat ourselves on the back a little bit.
Well, I think the process that Greg and yourself had started implementing earlier in the year, we started looking at timing and programming things in a little bit better, and you know, moving around to the right day so that we weren't picking up things on days where we're doing other bigger items. I think that's worked very well.
I personally feel that scheduling where we do you know, commercial first Tuesday, residential the second Tuesday, and then clean up on the fourth Tuesday, it works reasonably well. It's not going to work extremely well when we have a large project like Four Building, or certainly when Northland comes to the committee, that's going to be enormous. That will take off on a whole life of its own. And I do think the times have worked well, that we did tell people that, you know, you're not going to rush your food. That's useful. Do we think, how are we doing in terms of the presentation from planning? Do you like the presentations we're getting? Can they be shorter? Should they be longer? Should they be different? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, over the last, I've been on not only 3 years, but I think they've improved a lot in the 3 years since I've been on, where we see better PowerPoints, more information. The preliminary information we're getting is pretty good. You know, I get a good feel for the project when I come in. And then when we see it up there and explain it, it kind of clears up without having to ask a lot of questions on top of what we've already read. So I think it's worked out pretty well.
I, for one, really like seeing a picture of the property.
Mm-hmm.
I find that it...
You mean the photo?
Photos, yeah, the photos. It just, it shows, you know, I don't read the plans as well as some other people do, and so just, and often you do go visit a site, but sometimes you don't, and even if you do, just having the pictures in front of us, I think, I personally think it's very valuable, and also having some overlays in the GIS about where the property is, just as to frame the discussion. And it doesn't take more than a couple minutes, but it's really useful.
Isn't really about our deliberative process, but the presentations would be tremendously helped, not only by planning, but by everybody. Who could have used the technology in the chamber?
I had a conversation with Bill about it before the meeting. He has offered to come up with 3 or 4 alternative ways to solve the problem.
Are you talking about the microphone?
Microphone, the AV, the
size of the headphones.
Mm-hmm.
Try sitting in the pews during one of our presentations. Try to hear.
Those speakers are for us, they're not for the crowd. You sit in the crowd, you hear nothing.
And that's not fair.
We got to fix it. Yes,
absolutely
I'm agreeing.
Wrong.
I'm agreeing.
The first time I did that, I can't remember which one it was. It was years, not weeks ago. And I was astonished at how poorly the sound came through.
It's like going to a concert.
And how difficult it was to see the presentation. You know, it's too small. You know, the proportion of the distance to size, it's just totally off. That ice cream belongs in one of these committee rooms, not in the
chamber. So I think Scott was well aware of some technical difficulties we had at a previous meeting. He was, I think he was serious about it. So Nadia, could you be prepared? Well, could you be prepared in January or talk to Joe in January and David so that we can have some update on where we are with improving the technology in the chamber?
Yeah, it will make all the difference because honestly, well, even from my side where I'm sitting, looking over to that screen is pretty far.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I've already read the documents as we all have, you know, so I don't need to see everything, but I'm constantly looking for it. I really can't see that.
The pointers are so tiny.
Yeah, it's over here. And it's over here. So, Joe talked about putting four screens in there. Two screens, one on either side of the front chamber, and then one on either side of the audience. But then it would be attached to the computer, and then you can use your mouse to do things that would make all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. When I was first on the committee, I sat where Rick now sits and Sid was old seat, and I hated that seat because when I sat in the land use, I couldn't see anything.
Right.
It was brutal.
Well, you have to turn around.
Daniel,
I love the seat for so many reasons, but that's the big thing. Every time something's up there, I'm getting a workout. These chairs are heavy. You pick them up and you turn them and you sit down. And then you feel bad you're putting your back to Amy.
Well, that's
good.
I felt bad about that, too.
Yeah.
I would
say,
mm-hmm.
I think the members are very helpful.
Both of them are great.
It's been really good. I think that's definitely been improving over the last 5 years. Yeah, I still think that, like, the maps, at least the first ones, are so, they're so limited as far as they don't really show much of the neighborhood. It might be useful to put one with a little bit larger view and more context. It might be helpful. And then, you know, this is minor, but I continue to think it would be great if we had, like, the docket number or something on the upper right corner or something. We did this with the board orders finally, but still, it's like the memo. You're like, what?
We do. It's just not on the front page.
Yeah, but the front page, you have to come down here.
It's on the front page.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that. The first thing I always do when I get my packet is to take the reports out and order them along with the drawings. And it is difficult. I mean, I know it's there, but, you know, there's so much paper.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, doing the sorting is just a little bit annoying. Yeah, I totally get it.
Really, just on that last point, is that when especially noticeable to me when we have a second hearing, and I go back and find my memo for the first one, because we don't repeat them, we do the new ones. And I'm like, where is that first one? I'm looking at my pile, and
I was in land use 20 years ago, and I've watched how this process is, how things have evolved, and I think it's just fantastic. And even in the last 4 years, when I get my package and I open it up, and everything is together, all the plans. I think it's well organized. I think that the way you guys have streamlined things and presentation, it's come a long way. I mean, I know we're looking at the process, trying to see what we can do better. There's a lot that's working just fine, and you guys do a great job. And I really don't have anything to say about the presentation to us. I feel completely prepared with what you give us.
One thing I could say is I sometimes wonder if petitioners need to make the presentation at all. It's very easy for the planning department just to give you the presentation, and then it's on most small projects. I think on bigger projects, developers really want to be advocating for them.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, but I actually still do think that
petitioners ought to have some ownership of projects, you know, even on the small ones, because it goes very rapidly. Most of the time, the really small ones.
I feel like we're then repeating ourselves when we stand up.
Well,
and I feel like
maybe just add something if you have something different to add.
What happens if it
doesn't? Yeah. Here's what I was going to pick up on that a little bit, but off a slightly different take. Maybe there's some coaching that can be involved with petitioners beforehand. For the simple, I mean, I try to say this in the podium repeatedly, but you know, they come in, they're prepared.
I can't hear you.
They can't hear me. I actually think sometimes they do a disservice to themselves by going on something, and they elicit questions that really aren't necessarily germane, but now we're curious.
Yep.
So that would help, and I think would keep our, but still give ownership.
Yeah.
If that works for people. I think we've done a pretty good job of trying to deliberate and vote as we go along, rather than breaking into working sessions. I know it's uncomfortable in there. But I think it's much, much better for the petitioners to be able to present, get a vote, and get out of here.
Yeah,
I don't want to change that. Others, anything else?
I'd like to see better ways for the
family. Better ways for
the sometimes, on certain projects, they just can't visualize, and it can make a difference, but that's not the
Yeah. You want 3D models?
Yeah, well, I think that could be
I think there were pictures, like
weren't there? Sometimes I think if your memos were in color, I know that stuff's expensive, that could help us. Like with the land use memos, we have to take a map from GIS and then recode everything to black and white manually.
Even though it's in color?
Because they're typically in color?
Because they xerox in black and white. So, you can't read them that way, so you have to recode them.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way you can do that differently if you don't have to redo work?
I don't know, I could ask.
Yeah, there's an example.
It's the Wizard of Newton, Joe Mulvey on that, huh?
Well,
the
GIS guy, he's the one to ask about
that. Yeah, and then we're going to print.
Yeah, that's fine. Once again, that same technology theme earlier. So, possibly Mulvey is clue some people should attend City Council Committee meetings. And see actually what we're looking for, what kind of technology we need, because possibly there's a lot of things now that they can move towards, and maybe not buy this year or next year, but that means what they all, here's how the committee operates, here's what they need. You know, because if we just say we need technology, we need better TVs or whatever, we're missing everything we can do on an iPad, everything we should be doing, you know, instantaneous pull-up math, you know, possibly they could have them feed in, we don't necessarily even print anything. But if they don't attend any of our meetings, the IT people just have an idea, they don't really know.
I don't know what time you came in. He was here.
Yeah, tonight,
he was here tonight.
Yeah. Tonight
right. He was here.
So I'm just talking about in general.
Maybe it's not a bad idea, Susan, if maybe for one of our meetings, we, you know, you talk to Joe by having someone for him or someone from his department, at least attend part of them, so they get a flavor of what goes on in some of these.
Yeah.
Certainly couldn't hurt. Mm-hmm. I don't think they need to attend.
I wouldn't go all night. I mean, just to see how this feels.
Yeah,
I think the problem is the size of the project. When people are spending a lot of money, you know, Cork is going to have 3D flyovers. He's doing all this stuff, but you know, the typical petitioner shouldn't have to spend the money on that type of thing. We should be able to visualize.
Maybe
that.
I'll work with you on that. I think that's the type of thing. Perhaps we can defer to the planning department. You'll know, presumably, pretty early on if it's going to. Landscape is to be significant, and if it's significant, I think it's appropriate to say to the petitioner, you're going to need this anyway, get it done up front, but I hate to do it.
Well, some projects would help the petitioner,
I think we're trying to get as much of that stuff in advance, right, so that you can see it and you can give feedback to the listener whether it's adequate or not.
Well, I heard from Lance, you're still able to describe, not just you, the obligations, how you say it, and I probably get it wrong, under my eyes or whatever, but that they're short supply now. They're actually, like, a problem getting out in the Northeast.
Right. Folks, I'm gonna stop here because I want to give everyone a few minutes before we start. We don't have a very heavy agenda this evening. We have four items I think we're going to probably be able to move through very quickly. We'll put this on for January with all the items we talked about in a fairly, I think it should be a fairly robust discussion. And Susan, thank you in advance for all the heavy lifting.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw how much we already have.
Yeah, this is eye-opening, and I think we actually made a lot of progress. Yes, Deb.
I would like to make a suggestion to the Land Use Committee on behalf of the Zoning and Planning Committee, which I don't sit on, obviously. Susan does. And there was a public hearing last night, and other than most of the VAP committee and myself, there weren't any other counselors there. And I know everyone's busy and so forth, but, you know, these are things that dramatically impact what we are determining here. And I think last night's public hearing in particular, where I know there's a lot of questions and concerns about accessory apartments and how the ordinance works, and how the new ordinance might work. Listening to that tape from last night, I think would be extremely useful to all of us as we go ahead and consider this ordinance. It was just a tremendous amount of testimony from people from all over the city and all kinds of circumstances. And if you have concerns, or whether you do or not, I think, you know, it's something that, especially with the experience we have in this committee looking at these projects and deliberating over them, it would be really useful to hear what people had to say. There was a very good cross-section of people from the city.
Okay. Thanks, Doug.
Something we can't bring in a couple of years anyway.
What's that?
Well, maybe one meeting in a couple
of
years
anyway.
You'll be sitting every week.
Most of us won't be here.
We're going to adjourn for the moment. We're going to reset.